Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm teaching this morning on enduring with joy. I think that we have a pretty good understanding of the spiritual reality of joy, but to have that enduring joy in our lives at this other level in the renewed mind is what we're going to be talking about today. I want you to turn, please, to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Part of the definition of grace is that which affords us joy. Isn't that awesome? We're in the grace administration. It is absolutely God's will for us to have joy, to live joy. Just for a second, there's joy, there's enjoy, and there's rejoy. I think God has something in mind here when he's got all this stuff all throughout his word, not to mention things like grace and gladness. It is absolutely God's will for us to live and enjoy our lives with him. So we stand in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope. That's another thing. There's a huge list of things God has for us to rejoice in when we look through the word. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What? Also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is poured into our hearts, or it's flooding our souls. That love of God is everywhere in us because God is love, and the spirit that he gave us is love. So it's everywhere in you. It's not this little seed, this little pea. Just that alone makes me joyful. So, you know, this life does have trials and tribulations. There are things that are difficult and that we need to work through. We had to get through them. And joy is one of the things that helps us endure that. And patience is what endure means. It means to persevere, to wait steadfastly. In verse 3, patience is endure there. And the word is hypomeno, and it's a verb. And the earlier version of patience is hypomone, which is a noun. And the second one means to persevere under misfortunes. That's endure. Now, when my kids were little, one of the things that mom said a lot to her children was that you have to wait patiently without complaining. Right? Because children, when are we going to get there? Come on, I want to go. Can we leave? And on with the complaining and the whining. So mom would say, you have to wait patiently without complaining. So you know what mom did? Mom is the one that ended up learning about waiting patiently without complaining. So it's what they did with their minds while they waited that helped them to wait without complaining. And mom always made sure there was a reward, a hope at the end. They had their mini hope so that while they're waiting, they could be thinking of joyful thoughts, not tormenting thoughts, but joyful thoughts, thoughts that gave them pleasure. And I hope that as you see this teaching unfold before you, you'll see that that is the key to enduring with joy, is your thought life. So when we have the tough stuff happening in our lives, we have to know where to go in our thinking, what to think. So let's go to Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 7 and 8. Well, let's go back up. Let's talk about the love of God, but the love of God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And the love of God never fails. And of course, the love of God and the joy are all tied in. But I'm going to read you in Colossians 1:11, a different version, but let's go there. Colossians 1:11. In the King James, it says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." In another version, the International Standard Version, it says, "You are being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you might patiently endure everything with joy, and might thank the Father, who has enabled us a share in the saints' inheritance in light, and has rescued us from the power of darkness, and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves, through whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. You are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might patiently endure with joy." This is a valuable thing to learn, to know, and it's valuable to teach our children how to patiently wait and still have joy while they're waiting, because we're waiting for Jesus Christ's return. But we have many hopes here on earth, too. We have things that we wait for, because that's what hope is. It's not available right now. We are waiting for it. And our children need to learn how to endure so that they can have faith all their whole lives. Philippians 4:12. Paul said, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He knew what to do with his mind no matter what situation he was in. It's easy to rejoice when there's plenty and things are going well. The teaching moments for a parent are when things are not going so good. As well as when they're going well, we want to have them be thankful and call attention to answered prayers. But when things aren't going well, we can teach about thinking the word about what's going on and the power of prayer. We can go to God for help. It said, you are being strengthened with power. Go ask God for some of that strength so you can have the power. And go with your child to God. Go with them. So how can I endure? Where does endurance happen? An athlete might say that endurance happens in the muscles, the lungs, and the heart. But he knows that the mind is of equal importance. If you have been getting up in the morning, what got you out of bed? Do you think your alarm clock got you up?
No.
Nope, because my kids sleep right through their alarm. That's not what gets you up in the morning. It's that you set your mind that when the alarm goes off, I will hear it and get up. It's your mind that gets you out of bed in the morning. And it's the athlete's mind that gets him across the finish line, even when all of his muscles and lungs is screaming, "Stop, sit down." But his mind is what takes him across the finish line. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection. And the word affection is phroneo, your mind, your thought life. Set your affection. I still think affection is appropriate here. You could say the things that are dear to you, because your thought life is your treasure. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. God's word contains sound thoughts for us to think. I'm going to read to you Romans 26:3. You don't need to go there. Or no, excuse me, 55:8-9. This is the New International Version. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And God wants us to think those higher thoughts. He wants us, just like the hind that is climbing the mountains, you step your foot, the mother hind leads the way, and the child knows where to step for the safe ground. This is the Word of God, is those safe spots for us to rest our mind on those thoughts, the same way that the hind follows the mother deer. And in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And we can rejoice in that. The word stayed is lean on, rest against, support. God will hold me together when I trust him. I can lean on him in my thought life. I can go to him when, instead of saying a curse word or something when that bad thing happens, you can go, "God help." Sometimes the simplest prayer like that is the best. When you go to God, say, "God help, I got a flat tire, what do I do?" When I am full out pursuing God's word in my mind, that's where the blessings lie. Let's look at a person who is focusing on the wrong things and see just how miserable a body can be. Psalm 77. We're going to start in verse 1 of Psalm 77. "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." Ever been there? "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Now, I've been there. I've had a broken heart, an overwhelmed spirit before. It's not a good place to be. That's where this man was. Depression lies there. Without God and without hope, this guy has some terrible problems. I think his thoughts are tormenting him. They are not sound thoughts. It says, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." It's pretty bad. When you're so troubled that you can't speak. We're going to go on here. "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast me off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" I said, "This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." See, this guy, and we've all had these times in our lives where, "Why me? God, how come you're not answering my prayer? What's going on? Is there no more promises for me? What happened? Did I do something wrong? Did I blow it? Maybe he never loved me. Maybe I've used up all my grace and favor with God. God's promises just aren't happening for me." It's our human minds that follow these patterns because we live in the world. And this stuff is written for our learning, that we can learn from this. But this has a happy ending. Let's look at verse 10. This man gets back on track, just like we all do. "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High God. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also. I will think of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." He gets back on track. He gets his mind back to the right thinking and the right believing. That's what made the difference. As long as he sat there and let his mind think negative thoughts and focus on himself, he was miserable, and he was tormented by his thought life. But when he changed and turned his thoughts to the greatness and goodness of God, and he spoke a positive confession, that's when he got back on track. We should be careful about what we concentrate on. Thoughts come and go. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that we hold dear, the thoughts that we concentrate on. An example of a hen sitting on her egg. Let's go to Philippians 4. I want to look at this verse and talk about this hen sitting on her egg. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things to think on, not the first half of this, what we read about the miserable man. We don't want to think that way. And the anxious, be anxious for nothing. He was anxious. And I just recently heard this wonderful analogy of being anxious compared to a hen sitting on an egg. Have you guys ever seen a hen sitting on an egg? That egg is the center of her world. So if the egg represents your anxiety, and you are sitting on your egg, and you are brooding over that egg, and then you want to make sure it's evenly warmed, so you have to get up and roll it. Right? You got to roll it around, and then you sit back down on it, keeping it warm. Oh, it might not be doing so good. I better check it. She checks it again and again. She just sits there, and she's brooding. Just brooding over that egg. That egg is the center of her world. That's anxiety. Those thoughts. And it's only when we're holding them dear that they're a problem. When we are focusing and concentrating on them, we're going to be miserable. And we're not going to be able to endure. Okay, let's look at a guy that's being distracted in Psalm 73. Verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, poor me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, and they speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. This man is distracted by looking around at others. He's seeing the prosperity of the wicked. He's seeing how unethical men have millions of dollars, how they do mean and hurtful things. And he's like, I just want to pay my rent. What's up with this, God? How come they're, you know, all the money in the world and they got it? I'm your man, I'm your woman. How come I'm not seeing these riches like these men? He's distracted by looking around. These are, again, this is a little bit of insanity that we are tempted to think. He has these unsound thoughts. He's looking around and focusing on the ungodly, and it's causing despair in his life. But we have another happy ending. He gets back on track. Verse 17, until I went to the sanctuary of God. He went to God. Then I got understanding after I went to God. I understood their end. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Check out verse 2 again. I was in slippery places, but now God's given me understanding, and I see they're in slippery places. Thou castest them down in destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. The secret is obvious. Spend time with God. Spend time in God's word. Meditate on it. Think the thoughts of God, and you'll see the things from God's perspective instead of from man's perspective. We want to let it shine. Let's go to Psalms 34. Verses 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The word lightened is the word radiant. Shining, just glowing. God is spirit, so looking unto God means focusing on his nature and his acts of loving, of a loving heavenly father. You know, Moses saw the back parts of God in Exodus 33. Remember? Remember, he just saw the back parts of God, just a teeny glimpse. And what happened when he went before the people? He was so bright. He was shining so much, they had to put a veil over him because the people couldn't even look at him. When we are looking at God, that's what we're doing. We're glowing. We're radiant. We're joyful. Hebrews 12. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We don't want to be wearied or faint in our minds. And the key is to thinking God's word and meditating on it and going to God and getting understanding and relying on Jesus Christ. There's great joy in who we are in Christ, in the accomplished work, the accomplished reality of Jesus Christ. And it says here to look unto Jesus. It doesn't mean take a glimpse. It means look, really look, consider what he did and what he endured and how he lived his life. 2 Corinthians 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We want to keep our eyes on the eternal things. We are in this world, and so we will think the things of this world, but let's hold dear to those eternal things, which are not the things that are temporal of the world. Let those pass. Let them pass out of your mind. But we want to keep our eyes on the things that are eternal. So don't focus on your shortcomings. Don't focus on your unworthiness. Don't dwell on that, because you'll always come up short. You always will. It's in Christ that we are strong. It's by God's power that we are strong. Don't look around and compare yourself to others, because it will always distract you and it will cause you heartache. Instead, look to God and to the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. And lastly, I want to leave you with this last little thing in John. I love this little, it's something Jesus Christ said. John 16. Verse 21. Most of the women in here are going to totally understand this. And if you've been with a woman in labor, you can understand it too. Verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail or labor, when she's in labor, she has sorrow. Yeah, it's going to hurt a little, right? It's a trial. It's a temptation to be, you know, oh no, I'm in labor. It's going to hurt. But it's because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the baby, she forgets all about it. I don't remember the pain. For the joy that a man is born, or a child is born into the world. And I submit to you that our lives are kind of like that. We're going to go through some tough stuff, similar to, that's a great analogy of a woman working and laboring for something, and then she has great joy when it's there. So I think that you understand the secret now to enduring with joy. God bless you. I love you.